It's time for church. Everybody stand. We're going to celebrate God's presence in this place. Good to see you today.
Amen. Wherever two or three are gathered in His name, He is there. Pastor's right. He is here. Let's celebrate. our prayer, our commitment. Strength will rise. Here we go.
Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait.
We wait for you, Lord.
Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord.
Amen.
I hope you understand that. That is a promise from God's word, the book of Isaiah. It says, if we wait upon the Lord, he will renew our strength. He will give us the strength to rise up with wings like eagles, to run and not be weary, to walk and not faint. And trust me, as you walk through life, you need the ability to walk with strength. We don't always run, but we have to always walk, and God promises his strength. We're glad you're here today. If you're our guest, we have placed a card in the book rack. Take one of those, fill it out, and when we have our offering at the end, you're our guest. Let that be your offering. We're glad that you are here. Our people delivered goodies to the schools on Friday, and Fred Grakowski has said he's going to work with us in this, and he's kind of organizing things, but let me show you what happened on Friday. Now, this is a public school classroom in the Clark County School District, not to be named and not to be told, all right? But when they walked in, the class gave them this card that they had made. It says, thank you, Shadow Hills. We appreciate your help. I did a little bit of math between the services. If you bought everything at Sam's, and I know everybody didn't buy everything at Sam's, but if you bought everything at Sam's, the total cost of the 10 items in that bag is $3.06 to feed a child and family members for 2 days. That is an amazing thing, and yet these kids want you to know how much it means in their life. So I think you ought to give yourselves a hand, because I believe God has blessed us and is using that, and it's going to be exciting. We'll say things about other things a little bit later. So if you want to be on the news, Channel 8 kind of got news of what we had done, and they're showing up, and we're glad for that, because we want to raise the awareness. We have so much, and people need to give. And if you guys led the way, it would be a citywide thing. So right now, go find somebody. Tell them the weather changed this week, all right? Welcome one another.
So great to worship the Lord with you. It blesses my heart to look out and see hundreds of you worshiping the Lord. We're just one big family. You're the big worship choir. We're the worship leaders up here. But worship is about one person, the person of God. He is the audience of one. So right now, church, let's worship him. Light of the world.
So here I am to worship, here I am.
seated if you would. Here I am to worship. You know, as we finished the 40 days of community and better together, if you notice when you drove in on the marquees, we just blocked out the date. We still believe we're better together. And God created us to love Him, love each other, and reach out to everybody else. So as the staff talked about it, and we thought, how do you follow up a 40 days emphasis? Because we've done that before. In the 40 days is special in the Word of God. You know, 40 days, it carries a significant impression in the Word of God. And 40 days in our church life has always been special. But we want to keep on emphasizing loving God, loving each other, and reaching out. So we thought, let's follow the community up with an approach to individuality and talk about how God made us. The very fact that God made you to be you, and He made nobody else like you. And He made you to make a difference, to touch the lives of people in the world. We're going to look at this Bible verse, but I want you to look on the front of your listening notes, and the middle verse says, "You made my whole being. You formed me in my mother's body. I praise you because you made me in an amazing and wonderful way. You saw my bones being formed as I took shape in my mother's body. When I was put together there, you saw my body as it was formed. All the days planned for me were written in your book before I was one day old." Think about that. All the days you planned for me. No matter what you're going through today, no matter what's happening in your life today, all the days God planned for you were written in His book before you were one day old. God wants to use you to make a difference in the lives of others. And every once in a while, we get to thinking, well, you know, I'm not a pastor, I'm not a worship leader, I can't, God's not going to use me. Yeah, God made you to use you. And sometimes we think, well, I've disqualified myself because I've done this or I've done that. And God says, no. You need to start today to make the rest of your life, the best of your life, to touch others. I'm going to pray for us, and after I do, I want you to watch this video of how God uses the unqualified to touch lives. The choir's going to follow it up with a great song that reminds us of that. And then we're going to study about this morning how God shaped every one of us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love. Help us to know how you made us, what you made us, why you made us, and why it's important for us to understand. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You watch.
Think God can't use you? Think He only uses perfectly qualified people? Take a closer look. Moses was not a great speaker. Jonah ran from God. Jacob was a liar. Noah got drunk. Rahab was a prostitute. David had an affair. Jeremiah was depressed. A lot. Solomon was rich in wisdom, but poor in lifestyle. John the Baptist was just plain poor. Timothy was too young. Abraham was too old. Lazarus was dead. Sarah was barren. Naomi was a widow. Gideon and Thomas both doubted, and so did Sarah. Peter lacked self-control. James and John were self-righteous. Paul had a short fuse. Well, so did Peter and Moses. Actually, lots of people did. God's army isn't perfect. It never has been. It's the march of the unqualified. Get in line.
shepherd boy named David with a sling in his hand. He put a rock in that sling in his hand. He flung the rock and the giant fell dead. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
If you recognize anything about God, you know that God loves variety. He doesn't make copies. You know, I go to the copy machine and just push it. I said this morning 85 copies, and they all came out alike. And God says, no, I make originals. I looked up in one of the live science magazines online, and you know, you can trust online information for anything. And the live science magazine said that in 1 cubic foot of snow, there are 1 billion crystals, snowflakes, none of which are exactly alike. None of them are alike. And then I looked at this magazine called Scholastic Teacher, which I'm familiar with because my wife is a teacher. And I discovered in Scholastic Teacher that God created 350,000 kinds of beetles. Now, to me, that's creative overkill. I would have been happy with 5 species of beetles, but 350,000 species just because God likes variety. Every animal is different, every tree is different, every plant is different, and every person is different. And you need to really get this in your mind. When God created you, He has never created anybody like you. He will never create another person like you. Yes, God could have put us on an assembly line. He could have given us all Mr. Potato Head with the same ears, same eyes, same nose, same size, same color, made us walk alike, talk alike. He could have done that, but He said, no, I am creating originals. And God created originals because an original is always more valuable than a copy. If you have an original Picasso, you have something. If you have a copy, not so much. And God said, I value the people that I've created, and they are all original. And so God says, you are valuable. There's nobody like you. Look at the Bible verses on the front of your listening notes there. The Bible says, God shaped man from the soil of the ground and blew the breath of life into his nostrils, and man became a living being. Underline the word shaped. God shaped you exactly as you are. Physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, God has shaped you. He's given you everything he wants you to have. Look at the next verse. We read this. You made my whole being. You formed me in my mother's body. I praise you because you made me in an amazing and wonderful way. You saw my bones being formed as I took shape in my mother's body. When I was put together there, you saw my body as it was formed. All the days planned for me were written in your book before I was one day old. Do you see what it says in that verse? It says, God made me. God formed me. God saw me. God shaped me. God put me together. God planned every day of my life. You are special, and you are the only you that God will ever create. In fact, in the book of Job, it says, your hands formed and shaped me. Do you get it? God made you to be you. And you are not an accident. I know some people as parents have pointed and said, that one's an accident. No. No, it may have been an accident to mom and dad, but it wasn't an accident for God, because God had them planned before they were ever born. God had already written out their life before they were ever born. So there are no accidents. You also got to understand, when God made you, he broke the mold. When God made you, he broke the mold. When God made Adam, he broke the mold. God made Eve, he broke the mold. Adam looked at Eve and said, you're the only woman in the world for me. And he really didn't understand how true that was, because there would never be another one. Here's the problem. Most of us don't like something about the way God created us. When you get up and you look in the mirror in the morning, nearly everybody is masking something that they don't like about themselves. And that eats away at our self-confidence. You see, we look in the mirror and we think, why didn't God make me different? I wish I was a little bit taller or a little bit shorter. Or I wish I weighed a little less or I weighed a little more. I wish my ears didn't look like open taxi doors going down the road. You know, I wish that I had brown hair, red hair, blonde hair. I wish my eyes were blue. I wish my eyes were green. We all look at ourselves, and there's something about us that we just wish was different. We don't understand the creative process of God in our lives. Mom and Dad, if you can help your children with anything, the greatest thing you can help them with is to understand who God made them to be and what God made them to be and who they are. Because if they grow up not liking themselves and not liking the way God made them, they're going to spend the rest of their life dissatisfied. You see, satisfaction and security comes in understanding who God made you to be and accepting who God made you to be, so you don't spend the rest of your life trying to be somebody else. So you don't have to dress like somebody else. You don't have to look like somebody else. You don't have to wear your hair like somebody else. You don't have to wear the same shoes as somebody else. You don't want to spend your life trying to be like somebody else. Your whole life, folks, listen to me. No matter what your age, your whole life is influenced by the way you are shaped. You know, if you don't understand how God made you, let me tell you what shape does in your life. God shaped you. He formed you. He made you physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. He made some of us, and some of us have tempers that just get the best of us. And some people are so easygoing. He made some of us that we're inclined to impatience, and other people are so patient. And he made some tall and some short and some, you know, brown-headed, some blonde-headed. But God made us all. And if you don't understand everything about how God made you, life's not going to be what it needs to be. Your shape influences every aspect of your life. For instance, if you're going to college, if you know how God shaped you, you'll know which classes to take in college and which classes to avoid. If you know how God shaped you, if you understand your shape, you'll know the kind of person you need to marry. If you know how God shaped you, you'll know the kind of job that is best suited for you. If you know how God shaped you, then you're going to know what mission God has for you on this planet. And the problem is most of us don't understand how God has shaped us. If you know how God shaped you, it reduces your stress. You know how God shaped you, then it increases your self-esteem and your self-satisfaction. If you know how God shaped you, it increases your odds to be happy in this world. You succeed and you become satisfied because you know your shape. So this morning, we're introducing a series that I think is going to be life-changing for a lot of people. And I just want to ask and answer three questions. Number one, what is shape? What does it mean God shaped me? Many, many years ago, probably 20 years ago, we adopted the concept of shape at Shadow Hills. We've taught it in our discovery classes. Some of you know, but it's time for a refresher course because you need to know what your shape is. And I'm not talking about an exercise program or a diet program. I'm talking about the way God made you. So what is shape? Number two, why should I care? And number three, what do I do? So if you open your listening notes, let me first of all define shape. What does it mean, shape? Well, the S in shape stands for your spiritual gift, all right? The Bible says when you become a Christian, when you open your heart and you ask Jesus to come into your life, many things happen, and they happen simultaneously. We kind of want to think of them as this happens, then this happens, then this happens. But if you read the Bible, when you become a Christian, many things happen all at once. For instance, the Bible says when you become a Christian, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. God writes your name in heaven. You have a home in heaven the moment you become a Christian. The Bible says when you become a Christian that God's Spirit comes to live in your life and God's Spirit influences you. And now you can live by the Spirit's direction in your life. The Bible says when you become a Christian, you are baptized in the family of God. Now, that doesn't mean you literally get wet. At the end of the service, we're going to have baptism, and they're going to literally get wet. But when you're baptized into the family of God, it's a spiritual thing, and you become a part of God's family. But one of the things that happens when you become a Christian is God gives you your spiritual gift or gifts. You may have one, you may have more than one. The Bible lists over 20 different spiritual gifts, such as the gift of mercy, the gift of compassion, the gift of service, the gift of teaching. You know, the Bible speaks of many gifts. You need to know what your spiritual gift is. Because if you don't know what your spiritual gift is, how are you going to allow God to use that to make a difference in the lives of other people? I became a Christian when I was 14, and God gave me a spiritual gift. And my spiritual gift was teaching, but I didn't know that. In fact, when I was in school, and I've told you this before, I had a history report, and it was written out on a piece of paper. And Mr. Gillette in our history class said everybody has to stand up and read that piece of paper to the entire class. I took an F because I wasn't willing to stand up in front of people and read the report. I was too scared. But I was saved. I was a Christian. And I had the gift of teaching, but I hadn't discovered it yet. So I want to help you discover what your spiritual gift is. The H in shape stands for heart. Heart, a better word is passion, all right? So beside heart, put passion. What is it that drives you? What do you enjoy? What do you love to do? You know, I can do a variety of things, but there are some things that crank my tractor. This is what I like to do. This is why I get out of bed in the morning. And I want you to know what your heart is, what your passion is. So, spiritual gift, heart. A stands for abilities. What are your natural abilities? You know, scientists tell us, behavioral scientists tell us, that the ordinary individual has between 500 and 700 natural abilities. I mean, that you can just, you learn to do them. You haven't always done them. Tying your shoes is a natural ability. You enhance that. You learn to do that because you have the dexterity of your hands. And you can walk and you can talk. 500 to 700 of them, every one of us have. And God says He gave you yours so that you could do what he put you on the planet to do. So what are my natural gifts and abilities and talents? What is it that I need to be aware of in my shape from this perspective? The P in shape is personality. My personality is what makes me laugh and what makes me cry. My personality is how people see me. We have all kinds of different personalities in this room. Some people are very, very cooperative. They just want everybody to get along. Some people are very competitive. They want to be better than everybody else. Some people are introverts. Some people are extroverts. We all navigate life differently because of our personalities. And if you don't understand your personality, if you don't recognize how God made you, and you get into the wrong thing, then you're going to be dissatisfied. So spiritual gift, heart, ability, personality, we want to study that and see what it means. And then the E stands for experiences. Nobody in the world has the exact same experiences that you have. Every one of us, we are made up of our life experiences. And let me tell you something. God wants to use the experiences in your life to help other people. I know what it's like to be embarrassed by your background. I spent a lot of the years of my life, early in my life, unwilling to tell anybody the kind of home I was growing up in. I wouldn't invite friends to my house in high school because I didn't know what we were going to find when we went to my house. And I was embarrassed by that. And then when I became a pastor, it wasn't really, you know, a positive thing if somebody came to talk to you about coming to their church and they said, well, tell us about growing up. Well, I grew up in the home of alcoholic gamblers and we didn't have much. And, you know, I mean, that's not a positive thing. Really, it was when I came here to West Oakey, which is now Shadow Hills, that I discovered it was okay to say to people, you know, my folks were alcoholics. Because you know what happened? Somebody came and said, could I talk with you about that? Because I grew up in an alcoholic home. And I could say, my parents left me. And somebody would come and say, can I talk to you about that? Because that happened to me. And I discovered that God uses our shape, which includes our experiences, to influence the lives of other people. God wants to use not only the positive things in your life, but the pain in your past to touch the lives of other people. So God gives us these five things. And those five things in your life are unlike anybody else's. Yeah, somebody else has the same gift of teaching that I have, but they don't have the same experiences I have. And I don't have the same they do. And they may have the same heart. You know, they may love to get up and teach, and that may be their ability and talent, but maybe their personality is different. So nobody is just like you, and we need to understand when we look in the mirror, this is how God has shaped me, and we need to embrace it and be happy about it because it's who we are, and quit trying to mask it and become something that we're not. So we're going to spend several weeks looking at this. But let me go to the next question, and that is, why? Why should I care? Why should I listen to this? God made me unique. Okay, I accept that. There's nobody else like me. I accept that. But who cares? Well, there are several reasons that you should care. I've already given you some, because if you don't care, success or failure in life depends on understanding your shape. Satisfaction and dissatisfaction depend on understanding your shape. Mom and Dad, you have additional reasons. You need to help your kids know their shape. But why should I personally care? Let me give you four thoughts. Number one, your shape reveals God's purpose and God's plan in your life. If you don't know your shape, if you don't know your spiritual gift, if you're sitting there right now trying to figure it out, if you don't know what cranks your tractor, if you don't know what your abilities and your personality is good at and lends itself to, if you don't know your experiences, then you're not going to know why God put you on this planet. About 12 years ago, a man became very, very important in my life. His name is Ron, and he is the architect that actually designed these facilities. And I worked with Ron, our staff worked with Ron, and Ron had a phrase that he used with us over and over and over again. And that phrase was, form follows function. All right? Just jot it down. Form follows function. And so here's what we would do. Every week we would go to Ron's office, and he would say, what do you want the building to do? And so if we were designing this building, I'd say, well, we want people to be able to hear, and we want people to be able to see, and we want people to be comfortable. And we want to be able to make them cold if they get too comfortable. And we want to warm them up if they get too cold. And so we told him, here's the function of the worship center. And form followed function. He said, then this is what we build. And this makes all of that possible. Until you know the function, you could not decide what form the building was going to take. If you're going to build a classroom, that's different than building a cafeteria because the function is different. If you're going to build an office building, that's different than building a medical building because the function is different. If you're going to build an auditorium, that's different than building the children's center because the function is different. So in the architectural world, form follows function. In the spiritual world, function follows form. It's exactly the opposite. Because God has already formed you. God has already shaped you. God has already made you. So you better discover what God formed you to be, because you will never know what to do until you understand how God shaped you. And if you don't know your shape, you'll never be happy in your life. God has given you your spiritual gift, your heart, your ability, your personality, and your experiences, and He's going to use you in the place that fits the best. God is never going to give you a shape and then say, by the way, I know you have all of this, but I want you to do this over here. He shaped you, and He says, now I want you to do what you're shaped to do. I want you to fulfill your purpose and your plan. Jeremiah is a perfect example. Jeremiah was a prophet. Jeremiah spoke to the nations. Look at the Bible verse here. He says, this is God speaking to Jeremiah. Before I shaped you in the womb, I knew all about you. Before you saw the light of day, I had holy plans for you. A spokesman to the nations. That's what I had in mind for you. So God formed Jeremiah to be a prophet. And Jeremiah, now he didn't, when he was 5 years old, he didn't know he was going to be a prophet. But as he discovered his shape, he discovered his function. I am to be a spokesman to the nation. And God had gifted him and equipped him and enabled him to do this. God had plans for you before you were ever born. God had something in mind for you. For Jeremiah, it was to be a spokesman for the nation. Here's what I want you to bear in mind. God will never force you into His plan. He's given you your shape. But do you know you can take your shape and you could do something else? I think I could be a public school teacher because I know that I can communicate and I know I like to teach. But that wasn't God's plan. If you worked in the realm of law, you could probably be a pastor because you have to study and you have to discover things and you have to present things. But if God shaped you to be an attorney, that wouldn't fit for you. But God's never going to make you do what He created you to do. However, if you don't do what you're created to do, there's no joy there. The second thing, the second reason it matters, it equips God's people. It equips God's people. I know a lot of people who are frustrated and worried and depressed because they're not what God made them to be and they're unhappy. We need to understand that when I discover my shape, I know how God formed me. You see, in Isaiah it says, God formed me in my mother's womb to be His servant, and He commissioned me. Well, that's God's mission for Isaiah. God says He has a purpose for you. And some people say, well, it's too late. I'm already too old. No, let's make the rest of your life the best of your life. Just because you made some mistakes, just because you didn't do it in the past, doesn't mean you ought not be doing it right now. Let's make a fresh commitment. Okay, God, I want to do what you made me to do. The third thing, it's a test for eternity. And this one is quite sobering if you really understand this. Let me try to explain it. You're going to spend maybe 100 years in this world. Okay, 100 years. You're going to spend eternity in heaven. And the Bible teaches over and over again in this book that your life in this world is preparation for what you do in eternity. All right? God wants this world to be practice so that when we get to heaven, we know what He wants us to do. The idea that we're going to go to heaven and sit on a cloud and strum a harp is garbage. You're going to go to heaven, and it's not going to be just, you know, people, you think you're going to be a couch potato the rest of your life for all of eternity. No, it's going to be much better than that. But your life on this earth is a test for eternity. If you want to know something really startling, think of it this way. Every person in this room has an appointment with God in the next 100 years. Every one of us. You're going to meet God in the next 100 years. He's going to ask you two questions. When you meet God, He's just going to ask you two questions. Question number one is going to be, what did you do with my son Jesus? God's going to look you eye to eye and He's going to say, I sent my son to the earth. He died on the cross. I raised Him from the dead to forgive your sin. What did you do with Jesus? And the only answer that is acceptable is, I asked Him into my heart, He forgave my sin, and He influenced my life. That's the only acceptable answer, because to say, well, I ignored Him means you're separated from God forever. So the first question is, what did you do with Jesus? The second question is, what did you do with your shape? What did you do with what I gave you, with what I made you to be? What did you do with your time? What did you do with your energy? What did you do with your talents? Here's one. What did you do with your network? The network of friends you have. Did you live for yourself? Did you live just to accumulate and acquire and accomplish? Or did you live in such a way that you invested your life in other people? Every one of us are going to stand before God, and we're going to answer those questions. And I want you to pass the test. All right? We have to understand, the second question doesn't determine whether you get into heaven. The first question does that. The second question determines your role in heaven. And God says, if you've been faithful on this earth with what I gave you, then I'm going to be faithful to you in heaven. Maybe God didn't give you a lot. Maybe God didn't give you a lot of money. God didn't give you a lot of everything. But He says, I gave you a little bit, and I want to know what you did. And if you're faithful in the little that I gave you, I'm going to give you greater responsibility in the kingdom. You know, the Bible says, from where He sits, God overlooks all of us on earth. He has shaped each person in turn, and now He watches everything we do. He's watching. He's watching. God is watching. And He says, if you don't handle what I gave you on earth, it's not going to be much in heaven. All right? The fourth reason that we need to pay attention to shape is because it shows God's glory. And it's easier if you just want to put, because it makes God smile. All right? It makes God happy. That's what it means to glorify God, to make God smile. When God looks down and He sees a guy, and the talents that He gave this guy made him a salesman. God is looking and He's saying, that's my boy. He's a salesman. Look at him go. He is selling up a storm. And he looks over here and he sees a gal who's got a math mind and she's an accountant. He said, that's my girl. And that makes God smile. Because when something does what it's made to do, it makes you happy. You know, when your car does what it is made to do and gets you where you want to go, it makes you happy. But if it breaks down, you're not happy anymore, right? God, I mean, transportation, that's an important thing. I don't know if my pencil still in here. I have to look. Somebody took my pencil, the rats. Oh, there it is. A pencil. Very simple. When does this pencil make the manufacturer smile? And the manufacturer is Paper Mate, all right? Paper Mate made this pencil to do one thing, to write. You can take it and you can, I wrote my initials on that piece of paper. Now this pencil has fulfilled its function. Paper Mate is happy. But if I take this pencil and I dig for earwax, oh, I know that's gross, but I had to get your attention. Then this pencil, it didn't fulfill its function. It's kind of nasty. I mean, Tom's already told me I'm never touching this pencil again because that's the third time I've done that. And nothing on it yet, all right? But anything you do with this pencil outside of writing on it, it's not fulfilling its function. Think about yourself, and God made you, and He gave you capabilities, and He gave you skills, and He gave you a personality, and He gave you all of these things. And He says, I want you to use it in this way, and that's what makes God smile. Anytime something fulfills its purpose. The Bible, God says in Isaiah 43, bring me all the people who are mine, whom I made for my glory. God made us for His glory. And folks, you and I have to understand, he wants to make the difference with us. Well, that takes me to the third question. What should I do? Well, the first step is acceptance. You know, if I could help you do anything over the next few weeks, I want you to learn to accept that God made you just like he made you and be happy with you. I want you to accept it, that God made you this way. Because honestly, to not accept how God made you, if you just can't accept you, you don't like your nose, you don't like your ears, you don't like your eyes, you don't like your height, you don't like your weight, you don't like the way you sound, you know, you don't like this, you don't like this, and you keep masking it, let me tell you what you're saying. You're saying to God, if I had made me, I would have made me better. Everybody that, you know, you can have all the plastic surgery you want and all of those things, and God bless you, I'm not against that, all right? But you need to accept who you are. Because if you don't get to the point of accepting who you are, it is rebellion against God. It's pretty arrogant, isn't it? Isn't it arrogant to look at yourself and say, God, I don't like me? He's God. He made you. Accept that he made you. You know, if you can't accept yourself, there's going to be a spirit of bitterness that is going to frustrate you for the rest of your life. The second thing, you receive God's love. Not only do you accept the fact that God made you, but you say, God, I know you love me, I accept that. The Bible says here, let your love, God, shape my life with salvation. What is salvation? Well, salvation just means I receive God's love, that I ask him to fill my heart with his love. You know, Jesus proved God's love by the cross. And he says, Jesus died for me, and so I accept that. The third thing is you focus on the inside, because our world says focus on the outside. That's why our world spends millions of dollars. We are obsessed with the outward appearance. And God says, I don't look on the outside, I look on the inside. I want you to become a confident person, and I don't know many confident people. You know, and I know you're going to wrap this up and you're going to close your listening notes, but I want you to listen to me. And when we stand in a minute, don't go anywhere. Let God get a chance to talk with you. I've been talking to you. Take a few minutes and bow your heads and ask God what he wants to say to you with all of this. Because here's what you need to understand. If you know your shape, if you know what God made you to be, then you like you and God likes you, and you don't have to mask an insecurity. You can be open with it. And if somebody doesn't like it, who cares? God made you who you need to be. The Apostle Paul said it first. By the grace of God, I am what I am. That great theologian Popeye stole it later and said, I am what I am, but Paul said it first. By the grace of God, I am what I am. Can you say that? Because that's your choice. Stand with me and let's pray. Now, Heavenly Father, in these moments, I know that there are probably a lot of people here, a lot of people in the last service that never really accepted themselves. Parts of their life, parts of their body, they reject. Some of their talents, some of their background, they just don't like. And I pray that you would help us to understand that when we feel that way, we're not just rejecting ourselves, we're rejecting you. So help us to take those steps of healing and say, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And let it be life-changing in these days. Now, why don't you pray right now? Maybe you could pray a prayer like this in your heart. God, I'm sorry because I haven't totally accepted myself. And I know that means I haven't really accepted what you made. I've rejected your creation. So thank you for loving me and making me an original. Help me to know how to receive your love. And if you've never become a Christian, why don't you add this to your prayer? Just say, Jesus, I accept you into my life. I want to know you and love you. So help me focus on the inside and help me to discover my shape so I can pass the test of life, bring a smile to your face, and thank you for loving me in Jesus' name. Would you keep your head bowed right now? Because for some of you, you need somebody to help you know what that is. I have some friends that are right here this morning, and if you want to know what it is to be a Christian, then you need to come right now and say, yes, I want to know how Jesus can come into my life. If you prayed that prayer for the very first time, then why don't you come? We're not going to twist your arm. We're not going to make you do something, but we'll show you how God can change your life. Maybe you need to join the church and be baptized. I told you, we're going to share in baptism in a minute. Then you need to come. Maybe you need someone to pray with you about a hard time in your life. Then you come, right? This is your minute. You ask God what He wants you to do, and you respond during this song. You come as He sings.
I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior.
Heavenly Father, we do give ourselves to You first, and we give our offerings. We give our offerings because You've blessed us. You have benefited us. We have so much compared to so many. So as we give our gifts, we give them with a heart that is happy, knowing we're doing what You ask us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. You go ahead and be seated. I told you last week that the offering ought to be hilarious, so we got this video for you on Fall Festival. It ought to lighten your attitude a little bit. Watch it.
On a brisk October eve, these titans of confection gather once again in the pursuit of greatness. These gentle giants design, decorate, and even test the achievability and safety of each game. And they do this all in the pursuit of one noble goal: to give joy to children from all over their community. Throughout the centuries, generations have witnessed great feats of dedication in the church, but none have ever been so committed to the tooth decay of its youngsters. Many of these players not only put their reputation on the line, but they also risk their lives to create a spectacle the crowd will be pleased with. The infamous Apple Bob, a crowd favorite for years, was almost banned this year due to the near career-ending accident for little Bobby Meadows when the petite Gala apples were substituted with oversized Granny Smiths. That's why safety is their greatest concern. Because he ate more candy than he gave away last year, Tony the Grizzly Adams was asked to take one for the team and man the pumpkin carving station. He reminds everyone that this is not for the faint of heart. Feeling like she had something to prove following last year's failed game of Name That Prophet, Bev Stevens throws a Hail Mary this year, only to be intercepted by her straight-laced husband. Fortunately, the youth leader is always a team player. Prior to the event's start time, the crowd reaches anticipation levels of near hysteria. They can no longer be contained. It's all about the food, fellowship, and fun. Who are we kidding? It's all about the candy.
It's all about the candy. No, it's not. It's all about the kids. You know, there's no greater joy than to know that some of these younger guys and girls are coming and saying, we know Jesus, and we want to make an example. And I'll tell you something. The heating element went out of the baptistry when we filled it this weekend. This water is usually spa warm. Today, it's kind of like the puddles outside. So you pray for them because they said, we're not going to let that stop us, all right? And that's a testimony of faith. So we share with them in their expression of faith through baptism. Okay, Janie, come on. There you go, right there. Janie, because you know the Lord and because you want to follow Him, I baptize you, my little sister, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Okay, take your nose. Buried with Christ in baptism and raised to walk in new life. Blessed be. Okay, buddy. And likewise, Garrett, because you know Jesus and you want to follow him, I baptize you, my little brother, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Okay, take your notes. Buried in the likeness of his death, raised to walk in new life. God bless you, buddy. Oh, my, that is a delight. Why don't you stand with us right now? I hope you've gone to your small group. If not, find one. The band's going to play us out. God bless you. Thanks for being a part of this weekend.